It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. The Lightning is on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and it is on the radio this morning. Good morning, Bill Moss. Nice to have you back for Lightning Radio.
Good morning. Glad to be back.
Yes, sir.
Lightning Radio.
Yes, sir. Hey, chock full of news again, as the Lightning is typically every week. And let's get to it, because we've got quite a lot to cover this morning. Let's start on your front page. And, of course, this is a big story in these parts, and that's about the asphalt plant. And county organizes plan to hear hundreds of asphalt plant foes. Bill, catch us up on this.
Well, it's asphalt day in Henderson County. If you want to follow this story and anybody wants to go watch on YouTube, I think it is, or try to go, this story kind of sets up this meeting tonight and how they are going to manage, as you mentioned, hundreds of people that want to comment on the proposed asphalt plant there on Spartanburg Highway at the corner of the US 25 connector. And the way they plan to do that is the chairs in the Blue Ridge Conference Hall at Blue Ridge Community College that usually seats, I think, around 400 or 500 people, maybe even a few more, they will already be set up. They'll be socially distanced, 6 or more feet apart, which leaves only about 100 seats, according to our reporting on this from the planning board and from the head planners of Henderson County. So once those 100 seats are full, and surely they will be with as soon as they open the door and let the first 100 of what is expected to be several hundred people into the room, then doors close, meeting space is closed for just that many people. It's closed for any further admittance until those first few. They didn't really say how many, some dozen or 10 or whatever, have their opportunity to speak. They will have signed up. Everyone will have signed up, those that got in the room and those that don't get in the room. So when the first group of them have made their comments, they'll be asked to see if they can leave their seat and go watch it or listen to it outside. And then a new group will be let in. So we calculate at 3 minutes each that if all 203 people spoke, I think I calculated that would take 10 hours and 15 minutes of public comment alone. Now, that's not counting the presentation of the zoning application by the county staff. That's not counting whatever the applicant says. It's not counting what lawyers for the applicant says will say, and what the lawyer for the opponents, which is called the Friends of East Flat Rock. It's counting none of that, nor is it counting any planning board questions, comments, discussion, and deliberation. So there you go. The expectation is it's going to be they won't make it all the way through, and they'll have to continue it. Somewhat similar to, I think, the twice continued for either a total of three or four meetings when they took up that Dana shooting range a few years ago.
So they will listen to everyone?
They will urge people not to repeat the same thing.
Right.
And that would, if they really enforce that would cut off the total, let's say, minutes of speaking by a lot. Because I can tell you by reading, I think it was 242 pages of emails, comments, letters, so forth, that has been sent to the Henderson County Planning Board and to the Henderson County Board of Commissioners, that, of course, it's repetitive. I mean, once you say that we fear this will create air pollution, water pollution, noise pollution, light pollution, harm our health, and depreciate the value of our property and make a very bad-looking optic in one of the gateways to the town. Well, once you say that, those are basically the high points, and then underneath those, you know, there's some science that I'm sure certain people will try to introduce, but you know, if they really enforce "don't repeat yourself," it'll be, I think, a lot of people saying somewhat the same thing, which they're entitled to, for a pretty long time.
So is it decision time? They'll listen to everyone, they'll listen to all the arguments, and then the commissioners will make their decision? Is that how that's going to go?
Well, yes, over whether it's tonight or over two meetings or three meetings or more, that's how. And again, this is just the county planning board. It is not.
I'm sorry, planning board, yes.
It is not the final decision by any means. It is merely a recommendation. So you've got this step, which is only the first step and arguably not even the most crucial one, because this is their recommendation is not binding. County commissioners can accept it or do something else. I should say one other thing. This being a conditional zoning request, the planning board could recommend, and the Henderson County Board of Commissioners could impose as many and whatever conditions they want to. The hours you operate, how many trucks, I guess loads of asphalt for that matter. Anyway, conditional use zoning allows that, although under the state law in North Carolina, the applicant, the applicant must agree to it.
Okay, interesting. It'll be interesting to hear what happens with this meeting or meetings. Let's stay on not only government, but let's stay on the front page. Another headline here, Village Kills Bike Ped Plan. Talk to us about that story, Bill.
Yeah, this is sort of pavement writ much, much smaller, you might say.
Yeah.
And this is a plan that I think kicked off. The drafting of it and the public input and so forth kicked off in around October 2016. I think it was started to be presented the first of several times. It was presented to the Village Council around 2018, maybe some in 2019 as well. To have a really was, if they'd done it all, it was an ambitious plan. It would have been a lot of roadside bike paths, sidewalks, and some paths through undeveloped land, through the woods, in the village of Flat Rock. The study cost $40,000, which was covered not much by the village, mostly by the state of North Carolina, and partly by the Blue Ridge Bicycle Club. Which had a representative, Joe Sanders, who's been a leader of that organization for a long time. He was on the steering committee. There's a 14-member steering committee that spent a lot of time trying to put this together, even before the change of the council in last November's election. It was not widely hailed and accepted by the old council, who thought a lot of it was maybe... Even they thought it was a little bit too ambitious, including what would have been supposedly bike lanes, bike paths, or bike shoulders on Little River Road, which if you've ridden up and down Little River Road, you understand it really has very little room on either side for much widening. That would have been and was strongly opposed, I think, by council members. But chiefly, what happened here is what you've seen on Highland Lake Road and a few other sort of growth-oriented issues in the village of Flat Rock since the election, and that is the new council majority, with a couple of other votes in this case, was able to reverse whatever progress had been made and completely stop it. And the vote really was to not accept or really to reject, to kill this bike plan. And so they're not going to do this. They won't be doing this bike plan anytime soon.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was really sort of a long-range plan anyway, right? This wasn't anything that was necessarily in the works, correct?
Not at all. It was very long-range. Things like probably the thing that most people thought was the most realistic, and I think it was also the most widely supported, is this idea for a greenway, not really along Greenville Highway, but kind of going... It kind of off-road, and I'll say an off-road greenway. The path never was actually set, but connecting the Carl Sandburg Home Historic Site and the park at Flat Rock. And even that now, it looks like they don't have any acceptance, any willingness or even receptivity by property owners that where that path would need to go.
Okay.
Even that looks like that's going to fall away.
Okay. Before we go to break, let's head to another story you have here. The headline at the top of the paper, but on page two, the Republican folks got together for a breakfast recently, and you've got the story here.
Yeah, we had a little fun with the Republican breakfast, holding being a mask-free event. The picture shows the party chair, Mary God, shaking hands. No mask in sight. It's not a Photoshop picture. There were no masks. There was one school board candidate that was, I saw him come through the parking lot and with a mask on, and seeing, as we say here, that apparently no mask was the order of the day, removed his face covering as he crossed the threshold into the Dixie Diner room where they were meeting. And we say that Cooper's mantra to wait 6 feet apart, wear a mask, and wash hands was greeted with a fourth W at the Dixie Diner, widely ignored.
Written only the way the Hendersonville Lightning came right.
So we get there. They do say, I mean, of course we asked them, well, how come no mask? And they said, well, we're eating. And even though I think I saw one plate or two, most people didn't even order breakfast. And we're drinking coffee and we're drinking water, so we can't wear a mask. Or they had other reasons. Get your Hendersonville Lightning or go to HendersonvilleLightning.com and read the whole story.
Sure.
And decide yourself.
Absolutely. All right. Lightning Radio. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
And we're back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, let's stay on government. Let's stay on politics if we can, on a little deeper in under Four Seasons Politics. We've got a new commissioner, Daniel Andreotta, and apparently he's got his work cut out for him already. Baptism by fire. Tell us about that story, Bill.
Yeah, we do indeed have a new commissioner after the unfortunate death of Charlie Messer. Daniel Andreotta was recommended and nominated by the Henderson County Republican Party Executive Committee and very quickly accepted and appointed. So he's now sitting county commissioner, and his name will appear on the ballot in November for a four-year term. So, Mr. Andreotta, we took the opportunity to have a little interview with him at that same Republican breakfast. He has showed himself to be very prepared. He talked about how he had spent many hours reading reports, minutes, public comments. He's gotten countless emails. He says he's gotten a lot of new friends, and right now he's got a lot of new friends, although he understands it. I'm sure that very soon the new car smell will wear off of me. And so, and we said he's bracing for that baptism by fire in the form of the taproot discussion and vote. And the asphalt plant discussion, and obviously hearing, as we talked about, whenever it reaches the county commissioners from many, many hundreds of people that have a strong opinion on that. The taproot thing is out of the way. We'll talk about a little bit more in a few minutes.
Yeah.
But that was decided. Mr. Andreotta showed that he was well-versed. Became clear he had kind of been back-channel working on the case, trying to get a certain commitment from the contractor, the home builder, the developer, to make sure that a lot of that labor to build 699 homes and townhomes would be done by local carpenters, local drywall folks, local roofers, local electricians, local plumbers, and so forth. And we can talk about that just a tad more. And we got more Four Seasons Politics on that page and in the next pages.
And speaking of, let's stay on it. On our school board, Jay Egolf, school board member at the meeting recently, made his case for in-school learning. You got that story here.
He did indeed. He cast the only no vote when the Henderson County School Board voted last month, ordered remote learning instead of going back into the class for in-school learning. And he explained to the Republican Party activists at that breakfast on Saturday why he voted that way, why he still feels that way, and he thinks the children need to be in school. He understands there is some risk, but there's risk in lots of things in life, he said. He even mentioned that, of course, part of the problem is they worried that they couldn't get enough bus drivers, teachers, and that sort of thing. And Jay Egolf told the Republican breakfast, "I was going to volunteer to drive a bus. I drove a 30-foot trailer behind a 2,500, I think it was a Ram pickup, because that's his dealership, across the country. I can drive a bus," and he's not had the opportunity, so far as I know, yet to drive a school bus, but that's how strongly he felt. And like I say, he made the case, and the party chair, Mary Guy, wrapped up the discussion by telling the gathering that there is a solution to this problem. In November, vote for Dan Forrest, and all this will go away. Dan Forrest being the Republican nominee, challenging Democratic Governor Roy Cooper for that seat in the November 3 election.
And it's also interesting to note that Jay Egolf makes that case for in-school learning with a son who is in high school, who is at high risk, and Jay still believes that that's the thing to do.
Yeah, and to his credit, Jay is, we quote him on that, Jay is open about that.
Yeah.
He talks, here's my family's example. We went to the beach, we let the youngins play on the beach and swim in a public pool, interact with extended family, even though, as you said, this one youngster in high school, you say?
Yes.
He says severe lung issues because of a diaphragm hernia problem suffered at birth. So as far as I know, bless all that family, that they're all fine. And Jay Egolf says, look, there's risk, and it's a risk worth taking because the children ought to be in school. That's his case.
Exactly. Stay on politics, Bill. There's a Cawthorn and Davis forum coming up, and you've got the story on this as well.
Yeah, we do. We advanced that. They came out and said this will happen. I can't imagine that this is the best time for a huge audience, but it will happen on Labor Day weekend, on the Friday night and Saturday night of this coming Labor Day weekend, which is September 4 and 5, put together by a coalition of media folks, including the Smoky Mountain News, Western Carolina University, Lenore Ryan University, Equity and Diversity Institute, a former Asheville Citizen Times reporter and current Mountain Express contributor, to have Madison Cawthorn and Mo Davis debate or answer questions in those two different forums that will be available virtually on either Zoom or YouTube or however they choose to do it. This story does not have a time because they don't have a time yet. They say specific times and details on how to watch will be published in the coming days. So there's plenty of time still to get that in, so everyone can look for that in the Hendersonville Lightning upcoming issues and hendersonvillelightning.com.
So two events, one right after the other, September 4th and the other September the 5th, right?
The consecutive nights. The first night topics will include international, national, state, and urban issues. The second night, that one is to be held at Western Carolina University, topics will include rural issues, native issues, and education. So it sounds like they're going world issues, national, state, the first night, and then more local, maybe 11th Congressional District issues on that Saturday night.
Okay, it'll be interesting. So more to come on that story with times and so forth. Believe it or not, we're still on government. We're still on politics. Rebecca McCall, our commissioner, has been elected to association board. What's that all about, Bill?
Yeah, well, we just talked about a new commissioner. She's kind of the second newest after Mr. Andriotta.
Yeah.
And the reason I mentioned that, of course, Daniel Andriotta replaced Charlie Messer, who was the last Henderson County commissioner to be really active in the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners. And Rebecca McCall has proved herself, just got in there in 2018, right? She's proved herself to be really hardworking, does a lot of homework, and to be an active county commissioner. They're all pretty active, really.
Yeah.
She has been aggressively doing her job, I would say. So she's joined this board, just as Charlie Messer was on it for quite some time, as a director for District 16, and that is a district that includes Henderson, Buncombe, Transylvania, and Madison counties.
Interesting. So congratulations to Rebecca for that. Bill, you had said, we want to remind also folks that in this week's Lightning, you have one-stop voting schedule in here as well for folks, right?
Yes, and I was telling you in the break that that's gotten a lot of traffic on Hendersonville.com. People are interested in this election. I won't go through all the dates and times, and I will say the locations are going to be as they usually have been, especially in a big presidential gubernatorial big election year like these are when they're a presidential election. They'll be at the Board of Elections office. That's on 75 East Central Street, behind the auto parts. What's the name of that auto parts?
O'Reilly.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sorry about that.
Yep.
The Etowah Library, the Flat Rock Village Hall, and the Fletcher Town Hall. Those are the locations. It starts at 8 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, October 15. It ends on Halloween, Saturday, October 31, when they'll be voting at those one-stop voting locations from 8 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. Get your Hendersonville Lightning or go to the website to read all the exact dates and times.
Fantastic. And we'll have that on the front page of our website as well. Bill, you wanted to mention more about the Taproot Dairy on Lightning Radio?
Well, I did, because although it is not in the print issue, happened too late to be in this week's print issue. It was before the Henderson County Board of Commissioners on Wednesday, and after much debate over more than a year's time and some unsuccessful applications to rezone the property for pretty big residential use, this is a little less than half as many, or a little more than half as many as the most when they first rolled out, around 1,200, I think. Now it's 699 units of homes and townhomes on around 300 acres on Butler Bridge Road, there at the French Broad River. And they got all four votes, the eligible votes this time. Grady Hawkins has a family conflict and has recused himself from this case. But there were the commissioners I mentioned a while ago, how conditional zoning works. Commissioners extracted almost 70 conditions from the developers and landowner in order to bless this change and allow the development. And that after more than 20 years, close to 30, I would say, of the Johnston family marketing this property, trying to make it either industrial or residential. At one time, it was going to be a retail mixed-use development. It looks like at last, if this goes through, the Johnstons will be able to sell this legacy dairy farm, which has not operated as a dairy for quite a few years now.
So what's the next step?
Probably closing on the sale and running up to 100 North King and getting a site clearing permit.
Wow.
There actually, when you mentioned that, it hadn't been talked about much, but there is some very, very highly regulated work that has to go on to close a dairy farm that might have that might have, I don't think they call them lagoons, but, you know, they might have some waste issues. Yeah. And that work has been going on to do that. And there's a way to kind of get that certified by the state regulators. I think it might be Department of Environmental Quality and Department of and the Water Quality Division. So look for that to happen as well. Yeah, that's important. The sale is consummated, we assume, and then this big national developer, D.R. Horton out of Dallas, Texas, but they're national, and they built many homes right around here as well, will move in and start work.
Wow, it's hard to believe that in upcoming Lightning Radios, three words will not be spoken for a while. Taproot Dairy. We've been talking about that for a while.
Well, we'll always continue to bird dog it, though.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
You just don't know what kind of traffic issues come up.
Right.
Butler Bridge Road actually is going to be closed pretty soon for the replacement of the bridge over I-26. And it looks like that will be done before this gets started. But there's a whole bunch going on in this area, including Amazon just a little ways down the road.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have to keep an eye on not just on Taproot, but on that whole area because of all the intense development.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bill, we have covered a lot, but believe it or not, there's still even more in this week's edition of the Hendersonville Lightning. So people got to get their copy. How do they do it?
Yeah, they must get their copy because there is more to cover on the print issue, and there's more and more all the time on HendersonvilleLightning.com. So they can get a copy of the print issue all around the county at a Lightning Orange rack or in our dealer partners like Publix Supermarket and coffee shops and convenience stores. Or go to HendersonvilleLightning.com and click on the many different places where it says subscribe and just follow along to join the growing legions that get their Lightning today on Lightning Thursday or by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.